So first of all, welcome back. Hope you had a good summer. And just want to go through a few things about Yom Tov, 3-day Yom Tov, touch on the Lachos of Erev Tashin, which I always get the question when I talk about the Lachos of Erev Tashin, the ladies share, like, don't the men take care of that? Like, why do they have to fend over that? In my house, the lady, my wife takes care of it. That's why I always associate that with the ladies share. So worst comes to worst, you'll pass it on to your husbands. A few issues which are relevant even to any 2-day Yom Tov, not necessarily a 3-day Yom Tov. One question which comes up is taking something out of the freezer on the first day for the second day. So Erev Tashlin helps you from the second day for this year for second day going into Shabbos, or the first day to the second day. The question always comes up is taking things out of the freezer on the first day for the second day. So I mentioned last year that that's mutter. If you take it early enough in the day, that it could technically be used for. It's not obvious that you're taking it out for the second day, and you don't speak out. You're taking it out for the second day. If you don't say, "Oh, this is for tonight," don't say that. That's not a good idea because that would make it usur. But if you keep your, you don't say it even though you think it. You take it out early in the day, so it's not obvious why you're taking it out. So then it's mutter. So you wait till like 30 minutes before the end of the day. You pull out this frozen salad thing. It's obvious you're taking it out for the second day. You take it out in the morning, you take it out in the early afternoon, so it's not obvious why you're taking it out. You don't know why you're taking it out. You're taking it out to warm it up, to feed your kids in the afternoon. I don't know why you're taking it out. It's not obvious, so that's going to be mutter. Even if you wait till later in the day, there may possibly is an argument that might be mutter. If it's relevant, to you, for some reason, when you have to do that, give me speak to me. The person has an electric urn, has electric samovar, electric percolator, whatever you call it, and they want to add water onto it on Yom Tov. So the easiest way to add water for Yom Tov is if you have some type of a fire going, whether it's gas or electric, you can cook up water on Yom Tov. You can cook up fresh water. You can then pour that water into your electric urn. That's not a problem because you're not causing anything to happen when you add the water into the urn. The question will be, in a case you don't have that available, can you add water? So a person adds one cup of hot water into an electric urn, it's not going to cause it to turn on. You add a large amount of cold water. I said, hot water, I said cold water. If you add cold water to an electric urn, one cup of cold water is not going to cause it to turn on. If you add many cups of cold water to an electric urn, it's going to cause it to turn on. So what you can do is, over a period of time, you can add a cup of water, a cup of water, a cup of water. Eventually, you'll be able to increase the amount of water which is in there. And even eventually it does turn on, that's a grumma. It wasn't direct, it wasn't immediately after your action, and that's going to be permitted on Yom Tov. Obviously not on Shabbos. Question which just came to me recently, somebody asked me about using foam soap on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We spoke once about using liquid soap. I don't think I ever spoke about soap, which it comes in the bottle in a liquid form, and when you press it out through the pressure, the contact to the air, it changes into a foam. That's mutter to use. That is mutter to use on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Even though it changes from a liquid form into a foam, it doesn't last for any significant amount of time, and it's made for that purpose to change it, etc. So that's mutter. If those of you remember this when this came out, the aerosol whipped cream cans, right? You know, 30 years ago, right? So that was the question then. Can you inside the can, it's a liquid, and it comes out as a whipped cream, as a foam. So is that mutter? And most persons said that was mutter because all of you remember that if it sat there for a while, it became back becoming this nice, you know, liquidy mush. So it didn't have any. It wasn't real change. And even suppose that even if it would be, it's still going to be mutter. Something which is insignificant in regards to the second day of Yom Tov versus the first day of Yom Tov. So the first day, second day of Yom Tov, we deal with the same chumash as the first day of Yom Tov. We're going to have three sets of 2 days of Yom Tov very close to each other. Rosh Hashanah is different than the other Yomim Tovim of the other second days of Yom Tov of the rest of the year. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is more stringent than the second days of Yom Tov of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, and Shemini Atzeres. We call it Simchas Torah. There's a heter on the second day of Yom Tov, medication is mutter to take. Which means that even though normally you can't take medication, there's a limit to whether you're allowed to take medication on Shabbos or Yom Tov. It doesn't apply to the second day of Yom Tov. The second day of Yom Tov, medication is permitted. That doesn't apply to the second day of Rosh Hashanah. There are scenarios where a person can take medication on Shabbos also. A person is a nofel, a mishkov. Nafal Mishkav means a person is feeling ill enough that their body is feeling ill, that they really belong in bed. They feel like the whole body is weak and they belong in bed, which could actually mean either you are in bed or you belong in bed. Now, a mother might not be in bed because that's the reality of your mother, that you got to take care of her kids. But if she deserves to be in bed, she should be in bed, even though she's not in bed because she's a mother, that's called Nafal Mishkav. You could take medication in that situation. That'll be mutter even on Shabbos or Yom Tov, the first day, or the second day, Rosh Hashanah. But person just has a headache, or something's bothering them. They hurt their arm, and they want to take a little bit of medication, some Motrin or something like that. So it's not mutter on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That'll be mutter on the second day of Yom Tov, of Sukkot and Simchas Torah. It will not be mutter on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Another point about the second day of Yom Tov is the issue of the Shechiyonu. So we say Shechiyonu on the first day of Yom Tov, but most women say the Shechiyonu when they light the Neiris, and you say the Shechiyonu the second night also. Simplest Torah, again, we say Shemina Tzeres, we say Shechiyonu, and Simplest Torah, we say Shechiyonu. On Rosh Hashanah, we say Shechiyonu the first night. The second night, it's questionable about the halacha of Shechiyonu, and therefore it's preferred if some way the person could be guarantee that they have a real need to say Shechiyonu. That's possible by wearing a new garment, which of course is up to your husband to take care of. Mm-hmm. But you can point out that the Rebbe Rangel said that you have to get a new garment. You need a new baggage, nice baggage for the second day of Yom Tov because of the Shechiyonu. So any shalom bias problems that you have because of that, send them to me. Mm-hmm. That's one way to deal with it. Alternatively, the second way to deal with it is by having a new fruit, which is common that people have the second night of the second night of Rosh Hashanah. They have a new fruit on the table. But here's the catch. If you go that route, you don't go, I think the new garment is much better. You put it on right before you sin lift the second night, and you make the bracha. If you go with the Shechiyonu route of a new fruit, so let's talk about how it works in the Kiddush for a second. We'll talk about the Halakas Neiris. So the person makes a shech. The man comes home. He makes the kiddush. He says Shechiyonu with the fruit on the table. So the Shechiyonu is going on the Yom Tov as part of the kiddush. It's also going on the fruit. Now the Shechiyonu really is. There's two times in the halacha when you say Shechiyonu when it comes to the fruit, either at the time of the purchase or the time of eating it. So you didn't say at the time of the purchase. Obviously, that wasn't the goal. The goal was it was to use it at the time of the eating. So what's called the time of the eating? Well, he's about to eat the meal. That's called the time of the eating. It's actually, some people say it's better, it's preferred, you should actually eat it before Hamotzi. You should eat it right away. You mean a Shechiyonu, eat it right away. That's very good for the Shechiyonu at the time of the Kiddush. So the wife lights Neiris by the Zman, and others come home for half an hour later. So what's the connection to the Shechiyonu and the fruit? Right? So it's not the time of the purchase, not the time of the eating. So in that situation, we prefer the woman to wait to light Neiris until right before Kiddush. If you're going to use the Shechiyonu of the fruits, don't write light by the Zman. Wait till your husband comes home, you're ready to make Kiddush, light the Neiris and say the Shechiyonu, and then say the Kiddush and have the fruit during the meal. Send it right away. But don't do it earlier, because then it's not really connected to the time of the Chiddush. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? That's why I think it's preferred to use the new garment. You don't get involved with all this stuff. It's much easier to use that. So, again, you can tell your husband that it's I said so. Yeah.
Even if you never say Shechiyonu on clothes in general, like, you could use that. I'm saying, like, if you never say Shechiyonu on clothes, then you can use that.
Mikra, then, even though, you know, people don't say Shechiyonu on clothes nowadays, you have something nice in Mikra than you're allowed to say, so that's good, that's efficient. You should get nicer clothes. Yeah.
It could be a piece of jewelry also? Or
a piece of jewelry is fine, yeah.
And how is the man covered with Shechiyonu if it's a new garment for the woman?
No, he's going to say Shechiyonu on the fruit.
You should do both, the fruit and the
fruit. Well, that's his business. He has to do that's not your problem. I mean, you have to make sure he gets the fruit, I understand. But, right. One other point about Shechiyonu. So Ramosha raises the following question. So the woman said Shechiyonu, she lights the Neiris. So they come to Kiddush, and the man says Shechiyonu. So she's not living Yotze with the Shechiyonu. She already said Shechiyonu. Does she answer Amen? What's the question? She answered Amen to Rapier Goffin. So she's going to drink based on that. So answering Amen to the Shechiyonu was like an interruption, because she doesn't need this bracha. The bracha of Kiddush, she needs the Yotze of the bracha of Kiddush. So she Yotze the bracha of Kiddush, and she answers Amen to the bracha of Kiddush that she's supposed to be Yotze with. That's not an interruption, obviously. That's part of what you need. Shechiyonu, she was Yotze already. Right? So Rambam raises this question. Rambam says, you still answer amen. In that situation, you still answer amen. There are some posts that disagree, but that the psak is you should answer amen in that situation. Email you ready where you would say. I do want to mention there is an opinion that says that the woman should not say Shechiyonah during halakha. They really should be say Shechiyonah during Kiddush. There is such an opinion if you have such a minute, If the minute, most of the minute, when I think most women do say the Shechiyonah during Halakha's Neiris, that's the common minute and that is acceptable. But if you have the other minute, that is definitely what to stand on. Yeah, we're good? Okay. Erev Tavshilin, the second difference between Rosh Hashanah and the other days of other second days of Yom Tov, is that there's a funny halakha about Erev Tavshilin. In the case of where Yom Tov falls out on Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, it's Sukkot. So you need to make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday afternoon to be able to cook on Thursday night and Friday for Shabbos. You can't cook on the first day Yom Tov for Shabbos. You may not cook. But even with an Erev Tavshilin, you cannot cook on the first day for Shabbos. You have to wait till the second day of Yom Tov, which is Yom Vav, to cook. But you have to make. But you don't make it on Yom Tov, you make it Erev Yom Tov. So Wednesday afternoon, you're going to make your Erev Tavshilin to use. Let's say you forgot to make your Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday afternoon. Okay? Is there any solution? So on the first 2 days of Sukkot, there is a solution. You can come, because what's the 2 days of Yom Tov? What is it? We're saying, we're not sure really which way is the right, which day is really the 15th of Tishrei. According to our calendar, the 15th of Tishrei is this year will be Wednesday night, Thursday. But since once upon a time, the calendar was not done based on a set calendar, it was done based on the Bezin, the sighting of the moon, etc. In those days, they had to keep 2 days. So maybe what we call the 16th is really the 15th. Now, if we call the 16th is really the 15th, what we call the 15th is really the 14th. Right? So it's not Yom Tov yet. It's Erev Yom Tov. So, and what we call the 15th is the 15th, so the 16th is really Chol HaMoed. So you're allowed to cook in Chol HaMoed for Shabbos. So we make the following, you're allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin on the first day of Yom Tov and put it down and say the following. If today is Kaddish, I'm not doing anything. Because I'm allowed to cook tomorrow anyway. Because if today's Kaddish, tomorrow's Chol. And if today is Chol, I'm making an Erev Tavshilin, and tomorrow is Kaddish, but tomorrow is Yom Tov. So I made the Erev Tavshilin Erev Yom Tov, which is good. So you make it with this condition, which we don't know which day is really the right day. You can't do that on Rosh Hashanah, though. Rosh Hashanah, we look at the both days as one long day of Kedusha, halachically, so you can't make that type of a condition. But on Sukkot, that would be the situation on Sukkot. If somebody comes to me, Ayveh, it's Wednesday night, it's Yom Tov, but I forgot to make Erev Tavshilin, no problem. As long as you cooked some food for Yom Tov before Yom Tov, which nowadays we all do that, there's something cooked already, no problem. Do it right now, with this condition. All right, making sense? Yes?
Can't you also be able to rely on the fact that the Nesach of Erev Tavshilin says that you're doing it for everyone in the community, so you can rely on someone else did it for you?
So you can rely on that. You can rely on that, but that only works if the person who's doing it actually had somebody take possession for the whole city. So just the fact that it says it doesn't work.
Does anybody hear you that?
Rabbi Rosen does that. So the problem with relying on Gadol Yair is you get one time to rely on him. Because you're only relying on him, you're allowed to rely on him because when your person's not negligent. So if a person forgets one time, they're not considered negligent. If you get ready twice, you're not taking this seriously. So if you're negligent, you can't rely on Gadol Yair.
Worst case scenario,
one time. So one time you have the Gadol Yair, right? But if you have other options, you don't have to use up your one time.
Right.
You know, so you want to save your one time for a time you're really going to need it. You know, in a case where Yom Tov is, let's say Shavuos can come out on a Friday, not Thursday, Friday, but Shavuos comes out on a Friday, right? So you forgot your Erev Tavshilin, you need a Gadol Yair. You don't have another option in that situation. So Shavuos comes out on a Friday Shabbos, so the last days of Pesach comes out on a Friday Shabbos. Sukkot Rosh Hashanah will never come out on a Friday Shabbos. We know that's where the calendar said that'll never happen. Pesach also the first days will never come out on a Friday Shabbos. But the last days of Pesach and Shavuos can fall out on a Friday Shabbos. So there, it's relevant. You might need to go to Leir, so you just want to save it just in case. Besides, it's like really interesting to be able to do this. Like, you know, it's an interesting type of thing to do. Okay. That's my yeshiva training. So Rosh Hashanah, you could not do that, though. Another question which I just want to bring up, which I spoke of before, and I clarified it. One shiur a few years ago, at the end of the shiur, and I told everybody they can leave already, then one woman asked me about the halacha of lists, using lists on Yom Tov. And so, if you, those who are here remember that, they made a major chatter over here about this issue of using lists. So, there is a halacha that the person who is the balabas, being the husband or the wife, who has the power to add or subtract from the guest list, or add or subtract from the menu, cannot read the menu on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because they might come to strike something off from the list. That's a tikkun of the Rabbanim. Okay, you can't read that because you might come to take it off. A guest who is there who has no power, no authority to strike anything from the list, is allowed to read from it. So if you have a guest, you can have your guest read from it. There is a solution. The issue is, don't make it in a list. Make it in separate pieces of paper and put it into an envelope. So there's, you don't have to strike anything, you just pull the piece of paper out. It's not a list. It's, each piece is only one, each thing only has one item on it. So that this is a list of A, B, C, D, E. Over here it's A, one piece of paper, second piece of paper is B, etc. So that's mutter. So you take an envelope and you put all the items into the envelope, and that's mutter. So that was the solution which we came up with, to make it easier for the women to do that, not relying on having their guests read for them. So just reiterating that idea of how to do that in a way which a halacha would be mutter. Okay. Yes.
Getting back to the Erev Tavshilin. So on Rosh Hashanah it doesn't work.
Right.
So what happened?
You would have to rely on Gadol Yair or something of that sort.
That's the only.
There are some other solutions besides Gadol Yair.
So that's your one time.
Listen, there's an opinion that says a person, you know, was negligent and then they're very careful about it for a few years and they forget again. It's not called, you know, you got back your chazaka. You're being a good person, you know, doing the right thing. How long it takes? Good, it's a discussion. There are some other solutions. That a case where a person has cooked something for Shabbos, if they realize this before the meal, the Yom Tov meal in the morning, they can make food for the other meal and leave it over. There's no limit how much you can make for the meal, as long as you make it in one shot. So I need chicken for, I want to make fresh chicken for Shabbos. That was my plan. And I forgot the Erev Tav Shilin. So now it's Yom Tov morning, it's good. So you get up at 9 o'clock in the morning or Friday morning and make some chicken. So I can make 6 pieces, I can make 8 pieces, I can make 12 pieces, I can make 15 pieces, and leave over 10 of them for Shabbos. That's mutter. So there is a solution that you need to make an Erev Tav Shilin, since you can cook for Yom Tov. Here you're actually cooking for Yom Tov, you can use the leftovers for Shabbos. As long as you don't say why you're doing it. Right? So that would be one solution which you could do. But that doesn't work if you realize after you already cooked the meal. Because then it's obvious you're doing it for, then it's, that's, that you're not doing, you're not really doing it for the early meal. But if you're actually doing it and use it for the early meal, that's what would be mutter. And there are some other eitzes also. You can give over your ownership to somebody else who made Erev Tav Shilin, and then you borrow from them. There are other ways of doing it besides relying on Gadol Yair. So if it's ever relevant, you can ask Halacha Shalom. Okay, one of the common issues which we were thinking about, which comes up in a three-day Yom Tov, is, not because it's a three-day Yom Tov, it's 3 days of the kids hanging around and doing who knows what, is the kids get really dirty. And you want to wash your kids. Right? Or 3 days of the kids hang around the house and your toilet gets stuffed up. You know, there's a lot of things that happen from a three-day Yom Tov, which theoretically, when I made the title juggling, I actually pictured, you know, juggling. You know, like this is what comes up in a house, you know, with kids going around. Like what could happen over there? So just want to touch on that halacha a little bit. The halacha. So the child which got dirty on Yom Tov. So you can wash them. You can take water from the hot water from the tap, and you can wash them off the areas which are dirty. That's mutter. Obviously, you have to do it in a way which you're not involved in you're not getting involved in skita. You know, you can't wet a washcloth and wipe them off with that, because that's you're squeezing out the liquid from the washcloth. That's not going to be permitted. We spoke about the towelettes and these type of things. Also, theoretically, depending on the way they're made, some of them are better, some of them are worse. But that's the baby wipes, towelettes, those type of things. In general, I think you should stay away from, because the thicker ones there is a squeezing issue. The ones that you give you on the airplane, like, you know, the real cheap ones, like they don't hold any liquid inside of them. Those are probably mutter to use because you're not squeezing anything. There's liquid on the surface where Moshe holds. There's nothing inside, and that's it. You're not really squeezing anything out. But the good ones that you buy that you want to use, so that's not an option. You can, if you want to use baby wipes on Shabbos or Yom Tov because you like the texture. The suggestion that I have is you put them out before Shabbos, before Yom Tov, and you dry them out to the point that they're not wet. Then on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you could put the be it the water, be it the baby oil, whatever is directly onto the child, and they can use the wipe to clean the child up. So you don't put the liquid on the child, and then you use the wipe, which is dry and like a towel. So that's okay, but you don't want to use the liquid which is in the towel. But getting besides that, so you can't clean the child in such a way where you're doing skeeto, but you can clean the child, and if you need to, you can put the kid in the if you need to. So this is the question, could you put the kid in the shower? You know, the kid really messes himself up, like kids are wont to do. So you want to put the child under in the shower to run the hot water in the shower to clean them off. The answer is yes. Now, I'm going out on a limb on that a little bit, because Remersha holds no, but there are places which hold yes, and I think in a situation for a child, you can rely on that opinion. You can put him in the shower, run the hot water, and mixture of hot water and cold water together, and that's going to be mutter. Now, that's because he's so dirty that the only way to clean them off is really just by putting them in the shower. If you can just wash the part which is dirty, you should really just wash the part which is dirty. Unless you have a child, which because of their health issues, etc., you're washing them every day. You're bathing them every day. Then it's mutter to bathe them on Yom Tov. A child which you bathe every day, you're allowed to bathe on Yom Tov also. That's part of the way their health is, you're bathed every day, so you're allowed to bathe them on Yom Tov. But a child which is not at that point, because they got dirty, so you can wash air which is dirty, unless it's so impossible to wash, the whole kid is dirty, just stick him in the shower. Yeah.
Shower, bath, same thing?
Shower, bath, same thing. Bath is pushing it a little bit, more than a shower, but I chose shower because shower is preferred, and is preferred if possible. If shower is not available, you could use the bath.
I'm thinking more that, like, age of
the
kid.
Right, I understand. Yeah. If you put them into the baby baths, that makes it more lenient. You know, the baby, what they call that, the baths in that, whatever they call the kids in there, it's called baby bath. That makes it more lenient. Regards to adults taking showers on Yom Tov, that's, you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi. I'm not going there. Okay, one other area which I want to touch on, which is something which I just want to put out there, and you should, it's something which I'm not sure people are aware of. I'm not giving a final psak on this. You should ask your LOR, as they call him, local Orthodox rabbi, is the issue of fleshigs and milchigs on Yom Tov. So people should be aware that it's machlokes and halacha of whether you have to have fleshigs on Yom Tov. The Rambam seems to indicate that there is a mitzvah that you should have to have fleshes on Yom Tov. The Shulchan Aruch does not mention it. The Magen Avraham says it like the Rambam, and the Mishnah Berurah passes like the Magen Avraham, that you need to have fleshes on Yom Tov. Right. So people are telling me, I can't handle 3-day Yom Tov, I can't handle 6 fleshes of meals. So you should ask a Shiloh. Because according to Mishnah Berurah reads that a person is supposed to, it's not a chi of gomer, it's a mitzvah, but that's the proper thing to do. So the reason why, excuse me for making my commentary, is the reason why people can't handle 6 pleshig meals is because people eat too much by the meals. You're right. If you eat a gigantic meal, 6 times, I can't handle it either. But who asked you to eat so much? Halacha, you have to eat a kazayas of meat. A kazayas of meat is a piece of meat about this big. That's the halacha. So I can handle that 6 times. Yeah, the problem is the person doesn't eat a kazayas of meat. He eats, 6 kazayas of meat. I understand. I couldn't handle it either. All right. So, but the guy says, since I ate so much, if I shouldn't do a mitzvah, I'm not sure that that's right. Don't eat so much, and you'll be able to do the mitzvah properly. I can't handle it. You can't handle it because you eat so much. So especially on Rosh Hashanah, you want to make sure to do things right. It's something really to think about.
All right.
Again, the Shulchan Aruch says that you don't have to do that. And there are many people which are making a lot of, they say, at least if you have one fleshika meal per day, you fulfill your obligation. So if you do schedule milchaga meal, don't schedule two milchaga meals on the same day. Right? That's for sure you shouldn't do. Because then you're really getting involved in the shalat. Yes?
Are meat and chicken...
So meat and chicken. It's an interesting question. Meat versus chicken. So the most opinions say meat means meat. But again, you have to eat a kazayas. Kazayas is this big. That's a kazayas, a piece of meat. So it's not a tremendous amount that you have to eat. But if meat is difficult, you can use chicken.
Yeah, but Shabbos too, is that the same thing?
No, Shabbos is not the same. Shabbos, it depends what you find oinig. If a person finds oinig in milchiks, they could have milchiks.
Oh, I was meaning more for meat versus chicken. Like, there's no
inyan
on Shabbos.
No inyan on Shabbos is meat, no. The chicken is fine. Yom Tov, there's inyan of meat. There is another halacha, just as really that which, there is inyan of having wine by every meal. Besides the kiddush, there's inyan of having wine during the meal. It's clear in halacha that applies to men. It doesn't clear it applies to women. A woman's allowed to have if she wants. She'll work up between herself and the husband. Okay. The toilet gets stopped up. Cleaning. So the best thing to do with that is plunging. You can use a plunger on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So a plunger on Shabbos or Yom Tov, the answer is yes and no. Okay. Depends. So in a case where the water is going down, even though it takes a long time. So it's not totally stopped up, you're allowed to use a plunger. Okay? You should do it with a shiner if possible, but you're allowed to use a plunger because you're not really fixing it because it's not really broken because eventually the water will go down. It might have to sit 2 hours for the water to go down, but eventually it'll go down. In a case where it's totally stopped up to the point that nothing will go down at all, then you have a problem. Then you can't use the plunger. So it's like counterintuitive, I know. So then... you have a toilet which you can't use. So in the case it's the only toilet available, so you should ask the Shiloh, there's some heterim because of Kavod HaBrius, what to do, etc. Using a toilet brush to clean the toilet. So the toilet brush, is, if necessary, a person wants to do that. So this is the general squeezing issue. So a brush, like a bottle brush, a toilet brush, where the bristles are not right next to each other. They're far apart, and doesn't really hold water between them. So there's no and they're nylon. You're allowed to use them on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You're not really squeezing anything out. You have something which the Brillo, but the nylon Brillo. What do they call it? The scouring pads, right? Where the fibers are very close to each other. That'll hold water inside. And that you can't use on Shabbos or Yom Tov because you're squeezing out. But the nylon brush, those type of things, the bottle brush, or those type of things would be mutzah to use if necessary. Okay. Let's see if I covered everything on that. Okay, if the clothing gets dirty, so you can't clean clothes on Yom Tov, because of the malach of Malabin, of cleansing, one of the Lamentas malachas is the malach of Malabin, of cleansing something, making it white, literally, but cleansing it, so you can't do that. So the question always comes up, if there's a stain on the garment, which the stain will set. Or is there anything which you can do about it? So anything which is on the surface of the garments, so it's not really embedded in the garments, whatever's on the surface layer, you can take off. That's not malab. And as long as you leave some stain, I guess, some of the roshim of the... So the kid gets mud all over his thing, so the outer layer you scrape off, of the muds, see, well, there's still a little mud left on the bottom. That's mutter. You didn't really clean anything. You didn't do anything in that situation. if you start getting that which is embedded into the garment off, you're doing the malacha malabin, and that's going to be also. There's not really a great way to solve that problem on Yom Tov. We don't wash clothes on Chol HaMoed either, unless, you know, but Chol HaMoed, there'll be coolers. So give a shirma Chol HaMoed one time, we'll talk about the coolers for Chol HaMoed. So Chol HaMoed, that would be mutter. But on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, that's not, that you don't have an etzer for that. You can't, soaking is considered an halacha, the equivalent of putting it into soak, the equivalent of cleaning it. So that would be an etzer d'oraisa. You have a bag with you have a garment with a stain, and you put it to soak in water. That's a malacha deraisa. That would be so. That's, you don't want to go there. Taking the dirty thing and putting it into the hamper, it's not considered hachana. Putting it away, you're doing hachana. Putting it into the hamper, that's mutter, because that's the place to put it. Okay. Oh, okay. One more thing over here on the kid taking a bath. So we said foam soap is two more things over here. So soap, what type of soap can you use? So liquid soap. So if the liquid soap is free flowing, which means you turn it and it pours, right? So that's called liquid soap. Is that also or not? So there are some opinions that say that it's very thick, it's prohibited. I'm inclined to go that that's mutter. As long as it really pours, you know, you have this thing go, you know, that's not what I'm talking about, but it pours. So, if you go to the Star Care website, they tell you that the soft soap, which comes in the jar, they hold as also to use. You have to add water before Shabbos or Yom Tov if you want to use it. I think it's mutter, even without doing that. So, you got your cooler for tonight, okay? So as long as it's a free-flowing liquid soap, that's mutter. It pours out. Number one. Number two, when it comes to washing the child, so you have to be careful with squeezing the hair. We pass on the schita basar, that squeezing applies to hair. So you've got them wet because you washed them all, etc. But the hair got wet. So what you can't squeeze out the hair. So you can't press the towel down on the child's head to dry off, to get the hair out of the water out of the hair. You can put a towel on top of their head and let the towel absorb. Just let it sit there, you know, with something like that. But you can't press down to get the water out of their hair. Okay. Let's talk about Erev Tavshin a little bit. So I mentioned this before. The Erev Tavshin is semi-magic, but it's not full magic, right? So I tell you, you can't cook, prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos and make it Erev Tav. Sheila knows I'm allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So how does this magic work? So the more it has an argument. And the more it has an argument, the more it says the following. There's one opinion which says that according to that, on a Torah level, you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But really it's talking about mutter to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. The Chum came along and said, no, we don't want you cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos because you're afraid that, you know, that If we don't tell you, you better make sure that you have something prepared for Shabbos beforehand. You're going to forget about Shabbos. So you better make sure that you start cooking for Shabbos before Yom Tov, because Yom Tov is so overwhelming and exciting, etc. You're going to forget about Shabbos. So we said, you know what? The only way you're going to be able to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, means i.e. leave your cooking for later, is that you better start early. That's one way to look at it. The second way of looking at the Morse is actually there's on a Torah level, you may not cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You may not cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So how does it work? So the Torah says no, and the rabbi says you take an egg and a piece of bread, it's mutter. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right? How does that work? The answer is, what you're really doing is cooking for Yom Tov. So what does it mean you're cooking for Yom Tov? Since I'm putting up the food on Yom Tov, and theoretically I could eat it on Yom Tov, I could use it on Yom Tov, so really I'm cooking for Yom Tov. But practically, I end up using it for Shabbos. Now, what's the difference between these two opinions? Is when can you start cooking? If you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, Shabbos is at 7 o'clock, I can start cooking at 6:30. I'm allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. If the heter is based on the fact that you're really cooking for Yom Tov, if I start cooking on Yom Tov, and it won't be edible on Yom Tov, I can't do that. Right? We pass in like the second opinion, that you're not really allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So the only way you're really allowed to do this is because you're really cooking for Yom Tov, which means you have to cook in such a way that it's really edible to use for Yom Tov. So now, let's apply this. Most of us nowadays, we don't really cook that much new on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Most of what we use for Shabbos, we already have cooked beforehand. It's in the freezer, it's in the fridge, and you pull it out and you warm it up. That's not our issue, because that's really edible. It's not cooking. But the cholent, on the other hand, which is the most common thing that we deal with, you know, a person's putting up a cholent Friday to use for Shabbos. You have to put up the cholent on Friday in such a way that's really edible to you eat on Friday before sunset. It's edible to eat on Yom Tov if you wanted to. So you put your cholent up at 9 o'clock in the morning, fine, it'll be by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you have a nice edible geshmaka cholent, and somebody would come by and say, I got cholent, I can give you cholent to eat. You put your cholent up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and cholent takes, it's on a low flame because you don't have a big flame going, and it's not really cooked by the time Yom Shabbos starts, so that's a problem. So it's very important to remember to put up the cholent early. Making sense? Yeah? Now, let's say you did not do that. You came, you realize all of a sudden it's 4 or 5 o'clock after, so I didn't put up the cholent. So here's the deal. If the Yom Tov, this Friday you're talking about, is a rabbinic Yom Tov, which applies to Rosh Hashanah this year, because even and this second day of Rosh Hashanah is called the second day, or Sukkot or Simchas Torah, we'll let you rely on other opinion. In a case where it's a Torah Yom Tov, let's say a case where Shavuos was Friday, it's a Torah Yom Tov, we will not be lenient. So that's relevant again. The second day, the last day, the seventh day of Pesach could be on a Friday, and Shavuos could be on a Friday. There you might have this problem. There you have to be very aware of this issue. You must put up your cholent to cook early, because if you don't, you're not going to be lenient. In a case where this on Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is rabbinic, or the second day of Sukkot, or the second or simplest Torah, which all mirabanan, then in a case where you weren't, that you didn't do it early, we'll be lenient to allow you to rely on other opinion. Making sense? Yeah? Any questions on that? Okay. That's important. That's the magic that Erev Tov Shilin does for us. It doesn't make someone just totally Isser Mutter. It has a limit how far it can go. We already mentioned that you can't cook on the first day for Shabbos. You have to wait till the second day. Which there is an opinion which says that you should wait until the action to the day of the second day, as opposed to the nighttime. But that's already what to rely on the nighttime as mutter. Okay, so let's go back to this issue. So I want to light Neiris on Yom Tov for Shabbos. I'm lighting Neiris on Yom Tov for Shabbos. I'm doing a look at Neiris. So what's the heter to light Neiris on Yom Tov for Shabbos? So again, if you hold, you're allowed to do work on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Isn't it? You can light your Neiris on Yom Tov for Shabbos. If you hold, then you cannot do that. The real of the heter is because you're really doing it for Yom Tov. So Yom Tov's got to get something out of these Neiris. So I'm in this beautifully lit, electric lit room, lighting Neiris now, which I'll enjoy when I have my Friday night too. It's beautiful, I have my Neiris there. But what does my Yom Tov get out of it? So if you light later on in the day, where it's, even though it's electrically lit, it's getting dark, it's getting dark outside, so it adds light to the room. If you want to make early Yom Tov, early Shabbos, it's Rosh Hashanah this year, so you say, listen, we're not doing too much anyway, might as well make early Shabbos. So Shkia is, I said, 7:20, 6 o'clock, we'll daven mincha and light Neiris. What am I accomplishing? So it's a hard question on halacha, how that would be permitted. There is one opinion that says you should put it on a timer, that the dining room light should go off. So when you light it then, so the Yom Tov is really benefiting from those Neiris. But that's a little complicated. So it is an issue. Just be aware there is such an issue over there, and it's not so simple. Okay.
So you're supposed to wait till closer?
It would be preferred to wait till closer in that situation. Right. And Ken, in this situation, like which is Rosh Hashanah, they're all rabbinic, so we say, in a case we don't have a choice, you rely on the second, the other opinion. So that's the Shavuos case is going to be more complicated, right? The Shavuos case or the seventh day of Pesach, that'll be much more complicated, because that's the right solution. So that's more of a question. Okay. Let's say a person is going to family for Yom Tov, and they're not really planning to do any cooking, any baking themselves. So if they're there by their parents, so they have no need to make any Aruvah Tavshilin. Because they're not going to be doing any cooking or anything of their own. And they're staying in that house, so even though the wife's going to light neiris, but that's all the one Aruvah Tavshilin counts for everybody in the house. If you're staying in a different house, your parents don't have enough room for you, and they're putting up by the neighbor who's going away for Yom Tov, and you might boil some water there to have a coffee in the morning, and you might light neiris there or something of that sort, so that you would need to make your own Aruvah Tavshilin. Because you're really a separate house at this point in time. A person has everything cooked. The only thing they're doing is lighting neiris. They're not doing any cooking because everything was cooked beforehand. They're not making a cholent. You know, they're eating out Shabbos day. They're not making a cholent, so they have no need to cook. What are they doing on Yom Tov? Which is they're not cooking. They're not baking. Everything will do is just taking food which is ready cooked to put into the to warm up. That's not an Aruvah Tavshilin. Everything is to bake and to cook, and etc. Says to carry. Well, there's an Aruvah around the city, and there's no problem with carrying. I have nothing I'm planning to do. Right? The only issue is I'm planning to light neiris. So I make a Aruvah Tavshilin because I want to be able to light neiris. Do I make a bracha? I share kashamet sabat tivonu al mitzvahs Aruvah. If all I'm accomplishing with this Aruvah is I'm allowed to light neiris, that's the question. So we pass and you don't. The only thing you're lighting, making this Aruvah Tavshilin for is just to be able to light neiris and nothing else. You do not make a bracha. You do it without a bracha. Okay, a person, what goes into the heter of Aruvah Tavshilin? You know, we're talking about the law of how to make Aruvah Tavshilin. What goes into the heter? So, made Aruvah Tavshilin. So, normally I can't wash dishes on day one for day two. I want to wash my dishes on Friday for Shabbos. So that the Aruvah Tavshilin would allow me to wash my dishes on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. So that goes that anything which is considered Tzarech Suda would be permitted. Okay. Now, what other things are not Tzarech Suda? I want to make the beds on Friday for Shabbos. Because I made Erev Tavshilin, so I'm allowed to prepare and Yom Tov for Shabbos. So that actually is a Machlokes, whether that works or not. The Mishaburah seems to be of the opinion. The case that he's talking about was I want to roll the Sefer Torah. On Friday, so this year, simplest Torah. So my Sefer Torah is Zaysa Baruch. Shabbos, I'm going to lay in Parshas Bereishis. Friday night, everybody wants to run home and eat. So it means Shabbos morning, we're going to get the laning, and then they're going to sit there and roll the Sefer Torah from Bezos of Rachel to Bereishis. No problem. Friday afternoon, I'm going to go roll the Sefer Torah because I can prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Mishaburah says, no, you can't do that. It's not Tzarech Suda. You cannot do that. I'm an Erev Tavshilin. I can prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos, not this. Right, so I mean, the Erev Tavshilin is a magic for something which is considered Tzarech Suda, but not for other things. So making the beds would go into that same type of a question. Say if I'm making the beds in a way which I might use it for Yom Tov again, so then I'm making it for Yom Tov, I'm making it for Shabbos, but I'm making it with, you know, I'm not lying down again in this bed. It's 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So let's get the house ready to look nice for Shabbos. So it's not Tzarech, I can set the table. That's Tzarech Suda. Right? That's not a problem. I can set the table on Friday afternoon for Shabbos. I could wash the dishes. I could do anything which is Tzarech Suda I could do. But to clean up the house, to make the bed, etc. So I shouldn't do that. Okay. When a person makes the Aruvah Tavshilin, so we use an Aruvah Tavshilin, we use two items, a baked item and a cooked item. It's referred in halacha, when the minig many people have, they use an egg. The reason why the minig is to use an egg, because an egg is the type of an item which stays, once it's cooked, it stays preserved. Nowadays we have fridges, you don't really need to use an egg. It's a fertile halacha to use an item which you're going to use for the meal. That is, this is part of your tzarchei suda. So it's something which really you would be using in the meal. So a piece of meat, a piece of fish would be preferred in halacha to use for the Erev Tavshilin. And the same thing with the bread, it would be preferred to use something which you're planning to use for the meal. Actually, there's an opinion which says you should actually bake it with the specific intent to use it for the Erev Tavshilin. And cook it, you know, I'm making my roast. So you know what, I'm having my partners I'll use for the Erev Tavshilin. I bake some challahs, I have mine on one of these rolls I'll use for the Erev Tavshilin. So would you prefer to do that? That's not ma'akev. Okay?
Does it matter which meal you
use it? So which meal should you use it for? So the halacha is preferred, you should use it, the food, the meat you should use for the first meal that you come to. The bread, so Mishnah Berurah has an interesting idea. If you have a roll, so he has a great idea. So let's use it for many mitzvahs. Let's use it, since we only cut one challah. So Friday night I'll use it, he says, big challah plus this roll, and I'll cut the challah. Shabbos morning again, I'll use the roll again. And Mishnah Berurah says, I will cut the roll and eat the roll. I should eventually eat it. Because this is part of my Shabbos meal, so I eventually should eat it. But he says, you can get some extra mitzvahs out of it. Let's get some extra mitzvahs out of it. So we use it for Friday night and Shabbos morning as the other lechem mishnah. And by shalshuras, you'll actually eat it. If you have the minute to cut both rolls, you might as well use it Friday night and eat it. You know, there's no reason to wait. So a person it should be a cooked item. It should be a baked item. The size of the item should be at least a kazayas, preferably kebaya. Right? So you know an egg is at least the size of a kebaya, right? Hopefully. We like to believe that an egg is the size of a kebaya.
Does everybody have to eat from it, or just one?
No, one person. So then you can have a fight who gets a schus to eat it. When you put down the Erev, you say that we have a language that we say hedena ruva yeshar lona lafuya etc. A person has to understand what they're saying. So if you don't understand the Aramaic, you should read it in English. You should say declare it in English. The proper time to set it up is Erev Yomtiv. There's a famous question. You know, I by nature I'm a very forgetful person. I have a great idea. I'm going to make an Erev Tashilin on Erev Rosh Hashanah and use the same one for first days of Sukkot and last days of Sukkot, right? So, right? Can you do that? So again, the deal was that this should be your food for Shabbos. So you shouldn't really be doing that. Mishnah Berurah brings a question. Could be b'di'avad, you would be yaitzu with that. So, but definitely not l'chatchila. So if you really think you're going to have a problem remembering, you know, so you can ask the shaila about that. But the deal, it should be the food for you use for Shabbos. So you shouldn't be pushing it off till the. The proper time to do it is Erev Yomtiv. The person says, I regret, I'll do it. I'm going to do it on Tuesday. Because this way I'll make sure I remember it. No, the proper time to do it is Erev Yomtiv. Mishnah Berurah says, if you did it early, you should do it again without a bracha. And say the Nusach again. The person made it Erev Tashilin on Tuesday, they should take the same items again on Wednesday and say it again without the bracha. So it's important to say you should do it then over there. The lechem should be a lechem sholem. The cooked item should be something which you would be malafis as a pasta, something which you would eat as part of a meal. So a person wants to do something else. You can come up with some interesting other ideas, that's fine. You know, you want to do something exotic for your. But it has to be something which a person would have as part of their. It would be. Halacha looks at it as it's part of a meal. It comes to accompany the bread as the meal. It's coming to accompany the bread. That covers most of the things I want to cover. I guess I'll take any questions. Yes?
So just one more thing. So when you said you could take out food on the first day for the second day, as long as you don't say, this is for the second day, is that l'chatchila? Did you have, like,
That's a chatchila.
It is.
As long as you do it early enough, it's, you know, it's not obvious. Yeah. Yes?
What happens if someone, by mistake, eats the, what you set aside for your Shabbos on Yom Tov?
So, you're allowed to prepare for Shabbos as long as the Erev Tishon is intact. So, if the Erev Tishon was eaten on...
Like, if you set aside some meat from whatever meat you made and somebody got hungry and they redid your fridge...
I'm sure it's happened. Lachlan talks about it because it happens. Right. So you can't, if it, that
you
happened,
can't cook anymore,
you can't cook anymore.
But you could light.
Lighting, because we're making, halacha is in a case where there's no Erev Tavshilin and you didn't have a guttel a year and etc., you get to light one candle. Uh-huh. So you could light that. You get the minimal amount in that situation. But that's it. So in that situation, the other solutions are relying on Gadol Ha'ir. The Gadol Ha'ir made an Erev Tashlim for everybody in the city. If you realize early, you could eat before, like I mentioned before, before the meal, you could your Yom Tov meal in the morning. You want to cook some fresh chicken, you can make fresh chicken and then use it for Shabbos also. Or the other option is you could take your food and give it to somebody else who made an Erev Tashlim as a present. It's now theirs. Now that it's theirs, they're allowed to cook. They're allowed to bake. They'll do whatever they want. It's theirs. Now they want, they make me their agent to prepare the food. Okay, I'm their shliach to prepare their food. So that's the other solution. So there are some other solutions what to do. But yeah, it should be guard. It should be put away in a safe place where that and warned. You know, big skull and crossbones. Do not touch because it is a problem. If a person needs it's either once at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you finish everything. You know, you lit your neighbors already. You know, and everything. Yeah, one of the kids said they want to have their don't they? You can make sure then you can eat it then. Once you finished all your work, even though it's not Shabbos yet, you've done everything you need to do. So then you can eat your Erev Tavshilin. But as long as you want to do something, you have to have an Erev Tavshilin intact. Let's say the bread was eaten, and as long as the meat is, the main Erev Tavshilin is the meat, the cooked item. So you, by mistake, you use the bread, you're still mutter. The other round, if you mistake, you ate the meat, but you left over the bread, doesn't help you. It says, you know, he raided the fridge and he ate the meat, but he left over the bread, doesn't help you. That's not going to solve it. I left over the bread, doesn't help you. He says, just a minute, next time, leave over the meat and then eat the bread. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
When the Rambam was saying that you're supposed to make the Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yom Tov, not Tuesday or Monday right. Or whatever, what if someone's baked their challah or whatever before, is it lehadchila to then redeclare without the bracha, or like it really should, like you should be baking?
Okay, so that's, you know, the main point is actually the putting the Erev for the, you know, designated for the purpose, that has to be done Erev Yom Tov. So I take the bread which is baked and I take the meat which is cooked. I do that. There is a hiddur mitzvah to cook it and bake it for that purpose on that day, but that's not required. So I can bake my challahs on Sunday, but and then I, you know, and I ha, you know, but then on Wednesday afternoon I take one of the challahs and say, oh, this is for the Erev. You know, so that the main point is the actual declaration of the designation that should be done on Erev Yom Tov. Yes, good, okay. And next time the shir, I don't know what the schedule is. It's sometime like in the beginning of November or something like that. I do want to cover this year. Just a heads up. I want to go through some of the halachos of brachas. Some, you know, different types of foods, correct brachas, and that I haven't touched that in a while. And when I had an interesting idea, which is not relevant to everybody, I think everyone will find it fascinating. Shir, the halachos of carpool. Carpool. Well, there are a lot of different halachas in regard, you know, regards to halachas of carpool. We started making a list of different topics which you can cover in there. Many of them are not, I wouldn't call them arachayim or yoradei. They're ribish shailas, there are chashimishpat shailas. You know, you came late and because of that there was a fee because of babysitting, so who pays that fee? Because one of the kids was late. you know, I have to go way out of my way to pay this person back for, is that a ribbis problem because I'm giving them more gas than they gave me? There are many different halachic questions which come up. Rabbi Yashav holds it's considered a problem, by the way, that case of the, he holds it's ribbis. The person which are after it. But, and it's not, it, there are some way out interesting practical.
Bussing.
What?
Bussing, that was it.
Yeah, bussing, I think we will pass halachic. The mice say we need to have bussing and we multi-pass and it'll happen. Okay. Very good.